I'm going to invite Nyameka, Greg, and Helmut forward. And we're quickly going to touch on four topics: justice, reconciliation, beauty, and wholeness. And as they said so beautifully, that starts in us. When we are restored to our Creator, when God calls us by name and we are reminded that we are sons and daughters of God, those things manifest in us and then flow from us. And how much more not when we do it in that unity Milani spoke of. So it's my privilege to speak about justice. I'm going to take 5 minutes and share what's on my heart today because I realize it's extensive. But I want to say justice is to make right. That is the biblical definition. When we think of justice in the world, we think of courtrooms, we see scales, we hear the word equality. The biblical definition is to make right. And the first place we see true justice as God would have it was not when anyone deserved it, not when anyone earned it, but the day when Jesus came and died on that cross for us. Things were returned to the way they should be for me when God revealed that truth to me. The only way I could receive it is by humbling, accepting that I am a sinner. I was without a father. I was an orphan. I was without the lover of my soul. I was a widow. I was poor because the things I clung to were of no value and made no impact on the society I found myself in. And I had no place to belong. I was a foreigner because nowhere did somebody call me and say I was home. The first, most glorious, most generous place where justice happened is what Jesus does for us. We are called to that same justice. Not a justice that says you deserve it. You've done a good job and now I will restore justice to you and I will bring order and I will make those scales balance in your favor. I get to live out that undeserving love and grace and mercy that speaks of God's justice. I get to love the orphan. The orphan in my fellow believer, but I am called to love the orphan in the orphanage where Corneille works and to give them a home. I'm called to love the widow in the people that do not know that the lover of their soul calls them closer. But I get to take care of the woman that's placed in my community that doesn't know where her food will come from tomorrow or whether she'll have a roof over her head. I get to love the needy, the desolate, the marginalized, the foreigner. The Zimbabwe are working in my house because they've got no fortress to hide in. But I was invited under the wing and into the shadow of the Almighty. I'm reminded by Proverbs 14:31, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. And Proverbs 19:17, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. As South Africans, justice seems immense. No robot, no running into the shops, no getting home to the person cleaning your bathroom allows you a moment to go, this world is so fair. This world is so just. We are confronted with it. And yesterday, while asking the Lord what to do with this feeling of immense injustice that I have no power over, I felt God say, does the opportunity not actually, isn't the opportunity to encounter God so much more for us living in these circumstances? Isn't this opportunity to lend to others as if we're lending to God so that He would reward us so much greater? And then I want to take you to Isaiah 1, 12 to 17. And it speaks to long extent about the beautiful things we keep ourselves busy with as believers, and in this case, the Israelites, our sacrifices, our Sabbaths, our appointed feasts. And God says, my soul hates it. And He says in verse 16, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. We are invited to make things right in our actions. But God calls us to do it with a heart that seeks who He is, because God is just. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are justice, a God of truth, and without injustice, righteousness, and upright is He. We're going to turn to one another now, and we're going to remember that our communities are full of orphans, widows, foreigners, oppressed, and the poor. And you'll see the first thing I ask that we pray for is a return of an understanding of what justice is in the church and a hunger for it, to see justice flow from us, from this building, from every shofar across the globe, but from every church community around, that we will be reminded how precious justice and how integral justice is to us. And then I want us to prayerfully, because the best place, that way we don't always have that R5 on us. But we do have prayer, and I want us in prayer to lift up the marginalized, the poor, the widow, and the orphan. If you can please gather in groups of 2, 3, 4, 2 or more, turn to one another, and let's pray for a moment and allow God to speak to us concerning justice.
Father, we thank You for justice. We thank You, Father God, that You love mercy. And Lord Jesus, as Your children this morning, we look to You because we know that You are just God. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the second part is reconciliation. I'm going to read a scripture and then explain it, then we're going to go into prayer. So we're going to read from John 17, verse 20 to 23. It says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in Me through their word, that they may all be one, just as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they may also be in Us, so that the world may believe that You have sent Me. The glory that You've given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as We are one. I in them, and You in Me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that You have sent Me and loved them, even as You loved Me. Jesus' final prayer is actually paramount, because it starts off, if you read the whole chapter of John 17, it starts off by praying for Himself, and then He prays for His disciples, and then He also prays for the upcoming believers. That is basically us. In His prayer, Jesus prayed for the coming generation of believers to experience His love in an exceptional way. The context of the time that He lived in, they were actually under Roman Empire. It was very bad. He had spent 3 years with His disciples and was about to leave them, but He knew exactly what condition He was leaving them in. Hence the high priestly prayer. He prayed for them because He knew He was leaving them in dire danger. We can say, not in so many ways, that probably also we have the same kind of difficulties, not as dire as theirs, but we do have some difficulties. So our generation falls under from verse 20, seeing that with the believers would come as a result of the faithfulness of the disciples. I just want to read what it says here. The unity with each other and the union with God will cause the world to believe that the Father has sent the Son. I just named this message a cardinal necessity. If you're not familiar with the Catholic Church, you don't know what cardinal is. But in the Roman Empire, they had like these ranks. You had the emperor, of course. You had the governor, and you had a cardinal, also a centurion. And cardinal for us, it means is of utmost importance. Reconciliation is of utmost importance. Reconciliation is a cardinal necessity. So when Jesus prayed, he prayed a cardinal prayer because, I just want to name a few things, he was communicating God's immutable plan. That his plan has always been and always will be about oneness, first with him and then with each other. And secondly, God's love for humanity, that we always remember and know that God loves us. In fact, if you read from 20 to 23, Jesus talks about the fact that his love for God is compared also to his love for us, which means that there's an immense love for us. And also God's hope and resilience of humanity over the many challenges they face. Good life is not promised. Suffering is. So, I just want to read before we pray. I want to read what 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 says. It says, all this is from God, through whom Christ reconciles us to himself. So first we belong to God, and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That means we live in community with each other. Christ was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. That means we are representatives of Christ when it comes to unity. We are representatives of Christ when it comes to the love of Christ to others. We are representatives of Christ when it comes to community and also living together. God is making his final appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be seen who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There are a few prayer points over there. We can just take 5 minutes and then pray.
So the next two topics we're going to cover is beauty and wholeness. What beautiful fruits. But I'll be disobedient if I don't do what I'm going to do now. This week, specifically, I was in more than one conversation where racism was made as if it was nothing, as if it's just a way of being, as if we do not have to address it as the great evil in our country that it is. And I'm not casting stones. I want to be the first one to repent. I want to be the first one to say, I will not tolerate somebody having a conversation in front of me where you blatantly insult my son, where you insult my friend. We will not have it in the body of Christ any longer. And I want to invite us, as I lead us in a prayer of repentance, to bow down as Shofar Durbanville and say, sorry, Lord. Sorry that when people of other colors walk into this community, they do not feel welcome. When we go into other economic classes, that they do not feel loved. We're going to repent. Or you don't have to do this, but if your heart says, Lord, there's still something in me. There's still something in me when that taxi drives, pulls in front of me. I'm sorry, Lord, that my first reaction isn't that is a man that is fighting for the 10 rand that he's going to get if he gets there before the taxi. But no, I go, that's a black man. God says it's done. It's finished. Be angry, but do not sin. And be angry about God-fearing things. Let's bow our knees. Father, I come before you, Lord God, not because I have it right, Father, but because I admit, Lord God, that I am a sinner, Father. That I have fallen short in this space, Lord God, this area where it has caused such devastation in our country, Father. It has caused such heartache, Father. It has brought such injury to the body of Christ and hampered reconciliation, Lord God, because our hearts, Lord God, are wicked, Father. Father, I repent, Father. I'm sorry, Father. Holy Spirit, come and convict, come change. And as James says, make me a doer of the word because your word is implanted in my heart. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Romans 1:20 says that since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. And even more so in Christ, God's invisible qualities have been utterly revealed to us. You know, Hebrews 1 is probably one of my favorite scriptures, but it says that in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son, whom he has appointed heir over all things, and through whom he also made the universe. And this part just blows my mind every time, that the Son is the radiance of God's glory. He is the exact representation of the nature of the Father's being. And he is the one who's sustaining the world by his word. And Jesus is the source of all beauty. There is no one more beautiful than him. There is no one more desirable than him. And what I love, I mean, you know, we all love Jesus, but something that just stands out to me so much is the scripture where he says, a bruised reed I will not break, and a smoking flax or smoking candle I won't quench. That when things seem to be broken, he's not the one that puts them aside and says, that's done, let's move on to something new. But he chooses to restore the things that are broken. He chooses to make beautiful things that are broken. And the promise that he gives us in Revelation, that he will make all things new. I mean, I hang on to that every day for this country and for our community, that he's able to make broken things beautiful. The more we behold God and his beauty, I think the more we become like him, the more our hearts are turned with compassion toward our communities and the precious people in those communities, that they would also behold the beauty of the Lord, that they would know him and that they would understand him. Isaiah 33 is a prophecy speaking about the return of Jesus. And it says that there is a day coming when every eye will see the King in his beauty. And how precious it is that we now get to behold the beauty of God through Christ and his sacrifice. You know, the world is full of things that are screaming for us to turn away from the beauty of God and from his presence. Wealth, status, likes, views, anxieties, acceptance, attention, the list goes on. But what I think, just what I think we need as a generation, as a community, as a nation, is hearts like David in Psalm 27, verse 4, that our hearts would cry out for this one thing. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. In the age to come, when Christ returns and the reign of God is seen completely on the earth, it will be beautiful. It will be restored. It will be the earth renewed and restored and repaired. It will be human society and communities restored and repaired. And I think our job as God's church is to be a trailer, a glimpse, a foretaste of that which is to come in Christ, pointing our communities to Him and to His beauty. So the points I just wanted us to pray through was really for the church, for us, for our eyes to be open and our hearts to see God's beauty in unexpected places, in the brokenness, that we would be the ones who are bringing beauty and wholeness to those places in our communities. For our communities, for hard hearts to be softened and awakened and surrendered to the beauty of God, to His presence. And lastly, that one thing, that Psalm 27, verse 4, for hearts and desires that are united in our community as one, for the presence of God to come in our schools, in our communities, in our marriages, in our families, in our workplaces. I hope that makes sense. Let's pray together.
Is Father God, we just thank You for beauty, Lord God. Thank You that Your word says, Lord God, Lord, that You give us beauty for ashes, Lord God. And Lord God, we just come and thank You, Lord God, that You do that in our lives, Lord God, but not just in our lives, Lord God, in this country, Lord God. Lord, there's so much ashes, Lord God, and God, we pray, Lord, that You'll come through Your spirit, Lord God, and just give us beauty, Lord God, in Jesus' name. I'm going to quickly talk about wholeness. I think some of these topics are so rich, we can have a one-year series on sermons on to touch on each of them. Just really just going to touch quickly on it. In this world, I think the one of the things that's for me personally, and I'm sometimes difficult because I look at people around and there's so many people that are suffering. And yes, God says we will endure suffering, but there's some of that suffering that isn't necessary. It's unnecessary. And God promises us in Isaiah 53, I've got the scripture up there, in verse 4, it says, surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And I've put it in there because the Hebrew literally talks about griefs, sickness, and sorrows, pains. We can include everything in terms of our bodies, our emotions, our spirits, everything in terms of our wholeness as a human being is included in there. Jesus died for all of that, and it says in the end of verse 5, and by His stripes we are healed. Jesus suffered on the cross so that we can be reconciled to the Father, but also so that we can have wholeness in life. And when we walk around, there are people that are really suffering, that are oppressed for 10 years, for 20 years. It's like when Jesus walked the earth, you got to the bath there the one time, and this is this guy that was lame for 30 years and he was lying there. And, sorry, God's heart, our Father's desire is for people to be healed, to be restored completely. Jesus walked the earth and He was here. He came to earth so that He can show us what the Father wants, what the Father's heart's desire is, what He wants for us. And His desire for us is that Jesus demonstrated that every single person that came to Him in the Gospels, you can read the Gospels, not one person walked away, not healed, not delivered. Everybody was healed, everybody was delivered. And we look in this age where we are living in, and there's so many people sick, so many people suffering with depression for 20 years. It's not God's heart, it's not His desire. And this morning, I really want us to pray for this. Maybe the first thing is for us to really just ask God to say, Lord, restore our faith. Restore our faith. and do not look at life cynically. And when somebody comes up and says, you know, I'm sick, pray for me, and you think, oh my goodness, you know, I don't have faith for this. Jesus, there's this one story, we all know it, I'm a dad too, I've got kids, and this one gentleman's kid is sick, and he's got epileptic fits, and the disciples pray for him, and nothing happens. And then he comes to Jesus and says, Lord, help me, but I don't believe. I don't have the faith. And I want to say to us, God is bigger than our faith or our lack of faith. If we come to God with an honest heart and we ask him for something, what does he say? If we come and ask him for bread, what is he going to give us? Bread. If we ask for the Holy Spirit, he's going to give us the Holy Spirit. And I really want, I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't give up. Pray. God is the God of deliverance. He's the God of the impossible. And we box him into our experiences and our and the things we've seen. God is so much bigger than our experiences. Jesus died so that we can have restoration on identity and purpose. In this world today, identity is, there's so many. I almost want to say every single person struggles with identity in some way or another. Understand who we are and our purpose. Deliverance from oppression, there's so much oppression, there's so much disease. So this morning, just come and bring your heart before God. And if you don't have faith, just say, God, I don't have faith. Restore my faith that I can believe, that I can trust with somebody else that you're going to restore them, because that is God's heart. Amen.
Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek his face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. As we go into this week and we stay in this attitude of prayer and fasting and we seek God's glory, we seek justice, reconciliation, beauty and wholeness, let's keep that scripture in mind and know that God wants to open up those gates, that he wants to transform not just you, but absolutely you as well. And he wants to impact your society through us as a whole and as you as an individual. Let me pray for us as we go. Lord, thank you for this morning, Father. Thank you for wholehearted unity, Lord God, as we turn to one another in our brokenness, Lord God, in our humanity, Lord God. We came and we said, in Christ we are one. In Christ we have been made new creations, Father. And we thank you for the beauty of our salvation, the wonder of our salvation, the wholeness, Lord God, that you have brought to so many of us that we do not deserve, Father, but we have received, Father. And with that hope and the taste of your goodness, Father, we go into this week and we consecrate ourselves for your kingdom and for your glory. I pray this in Jesus' name. If anything we've prayed about has triggered something in your heart and you personally just need some prayer, please don't hesitate to come forward. A few of us will be in front here to pray with you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday.